morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It is now Palm Sunday, although considering the amount of wind that we had this morning when I woke up, I thought it must be Pentecost. But it is Palm Sunday. We do have a few announcements. First, our food pantry volunteers are listed as Linda and Ernie Champlin and Buck Gilbert. Bible study will be here on Tuesday. We will continue to watch episodes of The Chosen to finish out the season that we've been watching. We will have our youth bell choir at 5 p.m. Our Monday Thursday service this year is over at Union Congregational at 5:30. And our community-wide Good Friday service is at noon, also at Union Congregational. You should have these little purple slips. You can find them in the back, because we are asking if you would like to make a donation in memory of someone or in honor of someone, to fill out one of these slips of paper so that we can purchase two large, nice-looking Easter lilies for the church. And coming in are two people who will be celebrating their wedding anniversary this coming week.
But not this morning.
Not this morning, but on the 26th, we have Ann and Buck Gilbert, who will be celebrating their anniversary, which is always a wonderful thing. Also, on the table that the men usually sit at for fellowship, you will see a newspaper article that Lois brought in today. So if you don't get the paper or haven't seen it, you can look at this article that tells about one of our own, Jeremiah Hawley, and all that he's been able to accomplish. He's sitting right here. So I think it would be wonderful for us just to give him some praise for what he's been able to accomplish. We're very proud of you, Jeremiah. I know your family is as well. And so I'm going to ask those who are able to join me in the fellowship hall so that we can process in with our palms.
Okay.
meditate on the salvation of the world through his sufferings, death, burial, and resurrection. Let us pray. Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. God speaks to us in scripture and reading, preaching and song. And I'd just like to take a minute to say congratulations to Jeremiah. That's quite an accomplishment. We're pretty proud to have him in our congregation. And also I wanted to thank Jean this morning for standing in for these nice bulletins we have. She had to make me look up in the Bible this morning because I'm reading, the first reading is from Isaiah 54 through 9, and she has A, or someone's had A, and I thought, boy, I didn't realize there was an A. So she made me look, and Nels looked up in the Bible this morning, there isn't an A. But
maybe it's the first half of the verse.
Oh, maybe that's it. The image of the servant of God is one of the notable motives in the book of Isaiah. Today's reading describes the mission of the servant, whom early Christians associated with Jesus. Like Jesus, the servant does not strike back at his detractors, but trusts in God's steadfast love. A reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. And now let us read Psalm 31, 9 through 16, responsibly. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly.
For my life is wasted with grief, and my ears with sighing. My strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed.
I am the scorn of all my enemies, a disgrace to my neighbors, a dismay to my acquaintances. When they see me in the street, they avoid me.
Like the dead, I am forgotten, out of mind. I am useless as a broken body.
For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life.
As for me, I have trusted in you. I said, you are my God.
My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
The second reading is from Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Christ did not act to attain status and glory, but was obedient to God even to the point of death. Following Christ's example, we do not seek personal status or glory, but care for others as God cared for us in Christ's death. A reading from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus, or Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks in the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have any of you been waiting for a present? And here is a wrapped package. And you open it, your fingers trembling with anticipation because you know that this is a gift for which you have been waiting. And so you tear open that package carefully, and you can't even peek at it. You know exactly what it is, and so you open that wrapping paper. You take off the ribbon, you unwrap it. There it is in front of you, and it is not at all what you expected. Not at all what you expected. You were so sure that you knew what this present was going to be, and it's not it. That's what's happening here in our gospel lesson. They know the Messiah that they want. They know the Jesus that they want. And here he is at last. He has been preaching and teaching, starting in this obscure area of this obscure place on the face of the earth. And now he is demonstrating exactly who he says he has always been. He is untying or asking that this colt be untied and so that he can make this triumphant entry into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Not on the back of a war horse, as though he were some sort of Roman general, but on the back of a donkey, much like Solomon entered Jerusalem. Solomon, the son of David. Jesus is proclaiming himself son of David. And people think that they understand what is meant by that. That he is going to now enter the city. He is now going to fulfill all of their wishes, all of their dreams. He is going to save them from the Romans. And so that is why they shout out, Hosanna. Hosanna, which means save us. Hosanna, they shout. Save us. Save us from what we think we need salvation from. Save us from the oppressors that are standing in front of us, the ones who have taken control of our land, the ones who have made us virtual slaves. Save us from the Romans. Raise your army. We're ready. We're ready for you to do that. And so he enters in triumph as the people proclaim him Messiah. It is unmistakable what Jesus is saying about himself. All those rumblings about who he is. He is saying, I am Son of David. I am the long-awaited Messiah. And he enters Jerusalem. And now they're sure that exactly what they've been hoping for is going to happen. And they at last will be free from these latest oppressors, the Romans. Just as in the past they've been freed from the others, from the Babylonians and the Assyrians, and the list goes on and on. And that isn't who Jesus turns out to be. Because in just a few short days, a crowd is going to be shouting something different. Do you remember what they shout? Instead of Hosanna, save us, what do they shout? Crucify him. He's not turning out to be the Messiah that they want. Crucify him. And let free this rebel, this person who might actually raise an army for us. Because he's the wrong Messiah. He's not what we thought we were unwrapping when we proclaimed him as Messiah, when we called out for him to save us. Just like the expectation of a present. When you open it, it is not what you thought it would be. That's what's happening here. He's not the Jesus that they want him to be. He's not the Messiah that they want him to be. He's not giving them the freedom that they want. And it's not until after his death and resurrection that it becomes clear that he is a greater Messiah than they could ever hope for. He gives them freedom from something much more oppressive than what they think they're oppressed by. He frees them from sin. He frees us from sin. And today we wave our palm branches and we cry out, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When we look at our lives, what do we need to be freed from? What is it that oppresses us? When we call out Hosanna, what is it that we want from the Messiah? What is it we need? I believe that I need the same thing that the people of this day needed. That I need to throw everything in the path of Jesus and say, save me. Save me from my sin. Save me from the ways that I have turned away from God. Save me from the ways that I have failed to live out the two great commandments. Save me from the ways that I have not loved you, O God, with my whole heart and soul and strength and being. Save me from the ways that I have not loved my neighbor as myself. Hosanna, save me, O God. Save me, O Christ. Save me, O Anointed One. This is the beginning of Holy Week. And it's easy to just wave palm branches and then come back next Sunday and hear all of those shouts, all of those acclamations, all of those praises, and not go through the hard work of the rest of this week. Usually on this day, we would be reading the Passion. Instead, today, I wanted to focus on Palm Sunday and urge you to join me in the rest of this week. Join me as we celebrate Maundy Thursday, as we hear that new commandment, love one another as Jesus has loved us. Not that loving is new, but loving as Jesus loved is new. And as we hear of the institution of the Lord's Supper, join me if you can for Good Friday as we read the Passion, as we hear what Jesus went through for us. And then we can glory next Sunday in Easter, having walked with Jesus all the way to the cross, to the tomb, so that next Sunday we can walk to the empty tomb. Hosanna. Shout, Hosanna. Save us. Oh God, save us. Amen. Let us join in our hymn of the day, Shout to the Lord. It is in Best of the Best, what we affectionately refer to as BOB, number 198.
Come to
judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the Church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need.
Blessed One, today the Church sings glad hosannas as we enter the Holy Week. Prepare us to bear witness to Christ's suffering and death endured for our sake. Gather your people around the cross and comfort us with resurrection hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Renew your good creation and protect the balance of life on earth. Encourage the work of foresters, scientists, arborists, gardeners, and river keepers. We pray for the health of pollinating insects, songbirds, and native plants. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Establish peace and justice among the nations. Hold to account any with authority to judge others. Grant that courts, legislatures, and local governments will serve with integrity and compassion. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bring hope to any who feel forsaken or forgotten. Make a way for refugees and asylum seekers. Reunite families enduring separation. We pray for any who are incarcerated, institutionalized, or in foster care, that they may know your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Give energy and joy to our pastors, deacons, worship leaders, and musicians. Bless baptismal candidates, their sponsors, confirmands, and teachers. Watch over those who travel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Blessed One, our times are in your hand. Sustain us in discipleship throughout our lives and receive us into everlasting life. And at this time, we also pray for those who are on our prayer chain and all others who are in need of healing in mind, body, or spirit. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace.
You're looking much more beautiful. A lot more color than I saw before. You're looking so much better.
And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
Thank you.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, whose suffering and death gave salvation to all. You gather your people around the tree of the cross, transforming death into life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Word. We're all are welcome. you. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.